To be honest, it's the start of Rio from literally the day after the London Olympics. That's kind of how athletes' minds work. But it's quite exciting that it's come around so fast already. So much has happened already in the last 3 years, but we still have so much to come before 2016 next year in Rio.
And you yourself, you've still got to secure your place at the Rio Olympics, haven't you? A bit of a disappointing finish to this weekend's events.
Yeah, unfortunately, I didn't quite manage to make it in the top 10. I was 15th at the World Championships in Russia, just gone. So, you know, it's not the end of the world. It was just, I'm just going to have to wait that little bit longer until I get my official sort of Team GB top to compete for next summer. But nothing in the plan, in terms of the plan, has changed. There's still a competitions that I was going to go to all next year. There's still everything I need to do. I just need to now make sure that one of those competitions, I make the top nine, which is the next selection criteria in Portugal next June, which I have every faith in doing. I think I managed to pick up a virus, unfortunately, about 10 days before the Worlds, which I thought I got rid of, but unfortunately must have taken just a little bit more out of me than I had anticipated. So, you know, it's all looking good and it's all going ready, and we're going to sit down with all of our experts and make sure that it doesn't happen again, that I don't get that sort of little bug before the next competition and then again before Rio.
I suppose you just can't tell when you get a little bug. It's one of those things, isn't it? But so how many more chances do you get to qualify?
Well, there's kind of two more chances, really. So I need to be in the top nine in the world at this competition. It's a World Cup competition next year. So it's next July in Setúbal in Portugal. And providing that nobody from my country, so nobody else from Britain, makes it in the top nine, then I will be selected to go to the Olympics. And if that doesn't work, then after that, there's one spot goes to every continent. But I'm very confident that I'll be in that top nine position.
It was interesting reading an article this morning about yourself and one of your teammates, Danielle Huskisson, who will also be battling yourself for the position, sole position Britain can attain for this 10K race. And Huskisson said most of the girls seem to think it's rugby rather than open water swimming. Is it really that fierce when you're swimming next to someone like that?
It can be, yes. There is, unfortunately, an element of that in the sport. But what we do, you know, in our training regime is we do practice for those kinds of things. So we have the experts that, you know, we have the nutritionists that help us make sure that we can deal with swimming for 10,000 metres without needing to take on too much food. And we're doing all the carb loading before. And we also have the strength and conditioning coaches to make us a bit more resilient and a bit more kind of you know, able to deal with the hits and the blows that we get, and then our coaches and all the support staff and psychologists and all that kind of stuff as well. So we are getting all this expertise from, you know, from the English Institute of Sport and from Team GB. So it's really great that we're kind of stood on that pontoon ready, knowing that we've got everything planned and prepared for us, and now we just need to do what we need to do, the race itself.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm interested, though. What sort of things do the other competitors do? Because you always used to hear in football, like, defenders like Tony Adams used to, like, dig their nails into, like, strikers and do as much as they can to, like, really put them off. Under the water, like, umpires or referees can't see anything, I would have thought. What sort of things happen?
Well, a favourite is pulling people's legs back. That's something that's really annoying because it completely messes with your stroke. So as you're swimming along, someone pulls your leg back and you kind of get disorientated for a couple of seconds. But the other one is generally if they can't pull your leg back, they'll just try and swim over the top of you. But like I said, it's all part and parcel of the sport. And because it's in such close proximity, you've got 50 girls trying to get to the same place, you know, the quickest. So there's always going to be a little bit of that kind of stuff happening. But I like to prove that you can do it the fair way. You don't have to swim over people and you can still manage to win races and do really well without that.
Kerry, how close are you to the guys that race in the pool? Because it's been a great World Championships over in Russia for Britain, a bit of a resurgence after the disappointment of Rio, really, in the pool. London in the pool.
Yeah, I mean, they've had such a great start so far, and you know, James Guy winning that first gold medal, and I was listening to Rebecca Anderson talk about it yesterday, and she's saying the same happened for her. You know, when we were out in Beijing, you know, she won that first gold medal, and the ball just started rolling from there, really. And the team seems to be on a real high, and a lot of people said that we didn't have a great Olympics, but actually, if you look at the semi-finals and finals that we made, and a lot of those youngsters are now on this World Championships team, and they're converting those semi-finals and finals and fourth and fifth places into medals, like Siobhan Marie O'Connor and Adam Peaty and Ross Murdoch, both on the same podium. So Britain is doing a really good job at the moment with a year to go until the Rio Olympics.
Yeah, it's an exciting time in British swimming. One thing, I've read a lot of reports this week about the quality of water in Rio, and I'm sure you would have read about it as well, Kerry, and maybe some of the open water swimmers not so happy about the water quality. What do you know of it? I mean, I'm sure they'll probably get it all sorted by next year, but are you slightly worried about that at all?
Not worried at all. I've swam in some really dodgy places around the world, as I'm sure you can imagine.
What's the worst you've swum at?
The worst was in China. We were swimming down a river and there was a few really kind of dodgy places that we swam past on the way. But I've been to Rio and I've swum in the Copacabana, and I'm actually off to Rio in the next 2 weeks to swim for the Olympic test event. And when I was there a couple of years ago, I swam in the river in the sea every day, and I didn't get ill once. So I'm not worried about that. You know, we are open water swimmers. We swim 10,000 meters. It takes us 2 hours to do that. We're pretty tough athletes. I think we can deal with a little bit of stuff floating past in the water.
I imagine you must have to have an iron stomach with some of the water that you swim in.
Yeah, I think that's probably the best way to put it.
Yeah, an iron stomach. Do you have to take like supplements or anything like that? Because you do take a lot of water on, I'm sure.
No, absolutely not. I don't take any supplements. That's just kind of how I was always brought up, to just do this myself and to be the best version of me that I can. And the only thing that we can really do, and I'm not sure if I can mention it, other brands are available, I'm sure, but is we do have a can of Coke when we get out of the pool, and that kills any bugs in your stomach. So if you're an avid Coca-Cola drinker, that's pretty much what it's doing to your stomach.
Ah, kills any bugs in your stomach. Wow, can
does
of Coke.
Indeed.
Wow, look at that. Yeah. And if you put a very old 2p coin in it, it also takes off all of the old stomach, but comes out with a shiny coin. So, yeah, great. It's good for your stomach. And for clearing up all your
Coca-Cola, the new health food.
Yeah, exactly.